Good evening, everyone. I'm Linor Moudou. Welcome to Health Chat. On the show today, we will look at agriculture and health. Have you heard of permaculture? The answer may be no for some of you. Permaculture is defined as the development of agricultural ecosystems intended to be sustainable and self-sufficient. What does it mean, though, and how does it intersect with health? We will explore this topic today and look at what is being done on the ground in Africa, in particular in Kenya. Joining us via phone from Nairobi, Kenya, is Sheena Shah, Managing Director of Permaculture Research Institute in Kenya. Ms. Shah, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
Great to have you. Also joining us via phone from Nairobi, Kenya, is Paul Omolo. He's project manager for the Community Rongo Permaculture and Coffee Project. Mr. Omolo, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks so much. Hello, all, and thank you so much to this show. Thanks.
Sure, it's my pleasure. Listen, may I refer to you as Paul and Sheena by your first name?
Yes.
Great.
Yes, that's fine.
All right, fantastic. So let's get right into it. Permaculture. I have to admit, this is a new. I'm not familiar with this. So please enlighten me along with the listeners. And I will start with you, Mr. Omolo. Paul, if you could explain to us simply what is permaculture, please. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I'll just simplify it so that our listeners can understand.
Okay,
permaculture is simply a science and an art of designing sustainable human settlement. It is like integrating human society into sustainable ecosystems.
So that's what
permaculture means.
Okay, and let's take it one step further. Because you said ecosystem integrating human, let's see how we can make sense out of this. And I try to put myself in the listener's shoes, and I'm still a little bit foggy about what it means. So, Sheena, perhaps you want to come in and bring in another perspective just to clarify a little more.
Sure. So permaculture is basically, it's derived from permanent agriculture.
Okay.
So it's really a framework for sustainable development and providing sustainable solutions to many of the challenges in the ecosystem. And really like providing a very long-term approach to a resilient system over time.
So is the idea behind it mainly to save and protect the environment as we are doing agriculture?
Exactly. Protecting, but also mimicking nature and not really disrupting nature.
Okay. Now it started to make sense to me. Thank you so much.
Okay.
So now let's talk about what, first of all, why is it, it seems at least to me, let me speak for myself, that permaculture is not well known. Is this accurate to say that? Or is it just because I don't know it that I think it's not well known? Or does it depend on the area of interest of people for them to be able to know this? And I will let you, Paul, answer that from your perspective.
Okay. Permaculture is it's like a new concept. It is known, but not really so much. But right now, regarding the activities that are being implemented by people who are in permaculture, people are starting to get into permaculture slowly, but it's really picking up. Looking at what people are doing, because as far as permaculture is concerned, many people in the agriculture world have come to realize that permaculture is the answer to sustainable farming and also to answer questions as far as health is concerned, both human health and soil health is concerned. So what I can say generally is that permaculture, earlier on it was not well known as such, but as time goes by, people are starting to get into it slowly by slowly.
Okay.
Yeah, which in a matter of time, it will really spread and many people will get into it.
All right. And Sheena, what is your take on this question?
So I think Paul has answered it very well from the more ground perspective. I think permaculture, just the term is very new. You know, that term permaculture, it's very new to people, the concept of it. But it's really like traditional systems. It was also the founder, Bill Mollison, had worked with a lot of the African farmers when he first began to look into this model of farming. And for us, I think when we teach the permaculture concept to our farmers and lots of people from Kenya and around, it's really just reminding them of traditional systems and using more biodiverse approaches than just that monocrop, cropping system that's now failing the system. So I think it's just that name permaculture, but really it's just a reminder for traditional systems and holistic approaches.
Okay. And so if you were to point out a couple of basics in terms of main difference between permaculture and traditional agriculture, what would you say they are?
So I think it's more of the zoning. The first step is the principles of permaculture, the ethics, and then really zoning out your design. So I think the traditional systems are still quite mono, but they did use a lot of organic methods before. And then as time passed and we got into GM, genetically modified seeds and modified crops, farmers forgot these traditional systems and we went for the more faster production. So with permaculture, it's really about that biodiversity. So you're growing more than just one crop in one area. And that's now resulting to food security. And really, really mimicking the patterns within that design.
Okay. Now let's talk about how, because Paul mentioned this, he touched on it earlier when he was speaking about health, the health component of it, how it intersects with health. So, Paul, can you elaborate a little more in terms of how permaculture is contributing to improving community health and well-being?
Okay, regarding health, I'll just give examples. Since I'm the person on the ground, you'll just allow me to give some examples.
Please do.
For the region we are working in Western Kenya, is in Migori County. So before we started implementing the permaculture principles and ethics to our farmers, you will find that simply by observation, you'll find that if you observe the health of our farmers and their families, it was not that good. But right now, with the permaculture principles, because without permaculture, they were using the conventional method of agriculture. So you'll find that even growing their staple foods like maize and beans, they were using a lot of synthetic inputs like the fertilizers and chemicals. So you'll find that in most cases, we were finding that they were actually getting sick. Like there used to be a lot of stomach disorders and diarrhea and all that. But right now, after implementing the permaculture ethics and principles, so they avoided the old practices that they were using, the conventional practices like overusing of fertilizer and chemicals. So from our experience, for the past 2.5 years that we've worked with farmers, we've realized that as far as their health is concerned, there is that improvement in terms of health. Even as far as their nutritional health is concerned, because after implementing these permaculture practices, you'll find that they get healthy food, because when they use things like compost manure, farmyard manure, green manure, their food is not contaminated with the agrochemical. So generally, their health has really improved. Okay. Simply, we can attest to this because before we started the project, we did a baseline survey in terms of, some of the things that we really put on those questionnaires was looking at their health, in terms of the frequency at which they visit the hospital. But when we get back and do an evaluation, we found out that that rate of visiting the hospital has really reduced. So as far as health is concerned, we came to conclude that their wealth has improved by their frequency of visiting the hospital reduced, and also just by observation, you'll see that their health has really improved, both nutrition-wise and physical health-wise.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
And Sheena, so Paul points to the nutrition and the quality of the food. Are there other aspects of permaculture that are linked to health?
Yeah, I think because permaculture is a very holistic approach, it does then dive back into connecting with nature and connecting with your food, becoming more conscious of what you're putting in your body, what are you growing. What we found at the farmers is that they were always used to just growing their staples. They didn't look beyond that. And the moment we started to teach farmers to develop more biodiverse systems, they were growing a lot more different crops, and then there was a lot more color on the plate, a lot more indigenous food as well. And over time, they become healthier. They start to see that their well-being is now being reflected on that, and we start to promote this in the market as well. But I think it does come back to like the connectedness to their farming, to what they're growing, to the seed health, and the soil health as well. The moment they start to improve the soil, the richer the food and the nutrients in the food. So yes, I think that's a big part of this movement as well.
So is the food that is grown and harvested, is it considered organic then?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Everything is natural, no pesticides. So some of the farmers that we worked with were probably using pesticides and they were also using fertilizers. The moment we started to talk about permaculture and this more holistic, natural approach, farmers are now starting to see the yield improve because of using more natural approaches like composting. And Paul can probably share about that a little bit more later in their food production as well.
What I find surprising is the fact that such an approach seems to be a new concept, especially in Africa, where we tend to go organic and natural. People have had for a long time a culture of going to nature for resources, various type of resources. So how is this new to the African culture? Paul, perhaps you could enlighten us on this.
Okay. As far as organic farming is concerned, okay, we see that permaculture really embraces organic farming. So you it's a concept that we really want to get into farmers. So, but they're really responding well as far as it is concerned. Even though there are some perception still, there are some people who feel that organic is like labor intensive, but slowly by slowly they get to appreciate, because as we move ahead training them on a matter of organic farming, we also come out and tell them about the advantages. For example, touching on health, touching on human health, soil health, aquatic health, and also as far as value is concerned, because globally, right now, organic produce is like a high-value produce. They have premium price as compared to other crops that have been grown using conventional methods. So initially they used to be like, why go organic, yet it is labor intensive, it requires a lot of technical know-how, but it's good because as much as we train more farmers, we can see that farmers are starting to embrace it. In fact, out of the farmers that we are training, a good percentage of it are embracing it and they are willing. Even the farmers that are not within our project, they really want to get into organic farming. And it's something that sooner rather than later, many farmers will get into it. And the rate at which farmers are embracing it is really encouraging because they really want to get into it.
Okay. And Shina, let me have to your take on this as well. When I ask about the fact that permaculture is a new concept and is new on the continent, but doesn't the African culture traditionally have the habit of going organic, going to nature to seek for answers?
Yeah, that's right. I'll just share a story with you that we just actually did a course with these university students just last week. We gave an intro to permaculture course and at a site that is already producing organic and is organically certified as well with the holistic livestock management. And the students were actually like taking the theory but looking at it practically on the ground of like how, you know, renewable energy to food production and how this entire system is connected. And they wanted to tap into research of why this was working and why were the soils improving with this rotational, you know, crop system and the rotational livestock system. And it's really proven that once you start to build your soils, then you get a healthier yield in the crop diversity as well. And I think if students start to look at it, young people start to look at it this way, then they will be more likely to take it on forward because really Paul touched on it by saying that the organic food supply obviously has a higher demand and you paid a premium for it. And I think farmers are starting to grapple on this as well. But I think a lot of people now are going away from the factory, like factory farms with this large carbon footprint, and they want to grow local. Locally grown foods and start their own family farms. Okay. and be able to also have their animals range freely because we're seeing the results in that, if that answers the question.
Okay, well, we're going to take a short break. Paul and Shina, please stick around. We are going to go to the news, and we'll be right back to continue our conversation on permaculture. It's now time for the news with...
A new research study says gardening could be a powerful weapon against malaria. Experts in Mali, along with researchers from Israel and the United States, tested their idea in the arid Bandiagara district of Mali, West Africa. They believe one invasive plant, the flowering Prosopis juliflora, is a feeding ground for malaria-transmitting mosquitoes. They set up a horticulture experiment with 9 villages to see if removing the flowers from this plant might help kill off local mosquitoes. Villages where they removed the flowers saw a decrease in the total number of mosquitoes by nearly 60% after removal of the flowers. They don't have direct proof, but the researchers believe the mosquitoes died of starvation. The findings were published in the journal Malaria Research. A new study released in Kinshasa shows that the Democratic Republic of the Congo could save up to 283 million by 2025 if the prevalence of underweight children is reduced from 11 to 5% and if the stunting of growth is reduced from 43 to 10%. The Cost of Hunger in Africa study was undertaken by the government of the Democratic Republic of the Congo in collaboration with the United Nations World Food Program, the African Union Commission, the New Partnership for Africa's Development, and the UN Economic Commission for Latin America and the Caribbean. The study shows that the losses are incurred each year through increased healthcare costs, additional burdens to the education system, and reduced workforce productivity. The Cost of Hunger in Africa study has so far been conducted in 11 countries. Similar studies are being planned for Mali and Mauritania. And that's a wrap-up of the latest health news.
And that was Sarah Allen with the news. Welcome back for those of you joining us late. Tonight, we are discussing permaculture. And our guest from Nairobi, Kenya, calling us live on the show is Sheena Shah, Managing Director of Permaculture Research Institute. And also joining us via phone from Nairobi, Kenya, is Paul Omolo, Project Manager for the Community Rongo Permaculture and Coffee Project. Now, let's talk about what you are doing on the ground specifically. And I will start with you, Sheena, to tell us about the Permaculture Research Institute and what the institute does primarily.
Sure. So PRI Kenya, that's short for the Permaculture Research Institute, was formed in 2011. With the aim to really promote permaculture, but also train more farmers and people into this approach. So it's branched out to many different programs. So PRI Kenya is branched towards the education program. We've got the community permaculture program, and then we've got the research program and a consultancy program. So the education program primarily reaches farmers and people from all over the world and in Africa and East Africa to come in and train with us in permaculture. So this is like a two-week permaculture course that we offer within our partner sites, and that syncs in with the community permaculture projects. So these partners are based all over the region, and they are our key partner sites that act as model farms and are demonstrated solely on permaculture and sustainable living. We arrange and coordinate our courses within these sites so that people can have a broad overview on permaculture, but also really also get in hands-on. So over the past year, since 2012 to now, we've trained over 1,000 people and offered at least more than 50 scholarships to farmers and people who are in this context. And within the education program, we also seen that there's a demand for permaculture private training. So we offer a consultancy service that is now ranged towards these different models of, you know, just different ranges of people wanting to adapt to permaculture, but also can't get on the two-week courses or the specialized workshops. So then we offer private trainings, get to these sites and work with the staff on a more shorter course, and then they take it on and we keep following up with these different sites. Yeah, the big thing we're doing is we've held two big training of trainer courses with the renowned facilitator Warren Brush, who resides in California and runs Quill Springs. So he offered two courses in 2014 and 2016, and it really brought a lot of practitioners together to build a series of facilitation and consultancy services. Since then, we've now developed a trainees program where we get the training of trainers to come and do more workshops to enable, really to build up their skills to then go and teach permaculture all over the region. And then some of them also get employed as you know, external consultants. So we give them scholarships, and then we also look for jobs for them. So a lot of them are actually also working with us externally, which is great. But really, the community permaculture organizations that we work with are really modeling permaculture for their own communities, and all in different contexts with very unique designs. So volunteers and people can come in within these sites and work with these sites to develop and really take in a lot of knowledge within the permaculture context.
Okay.
And so Paul...
Yes. Okay, yes. And this leads me to Paul. He's as you're speaking about communities that you work with, Paul is the project manager for the community Rongo Permaculture and Coffee Project. So, Paul, can you tell us a little bit about this project that you are overseeing?
Okay, thank you. I'll talk about the project that we are currently doing. Okay, first I'll start with, we have an organization called Sustainable Village Resources. This is a CBO that is based in Rongo. It is a local organization based in Rongo. In short, we call it SVR to make it simple. So SVR is a partner project with PRI. Currently we are implementing a coffee project funded by BioVision. It's a partnership project between SVR, PRI Kenya, and BioVision Foundation. Of course, BioVision Foundation is the donor. This project started in 2015. It's a 2.5-year project that started in July 2015, and it's supposed to be ending this year, 31st of December. So what we do, currently we are having 35 project beneficiaries, and the mode at which we arrived at these 35 farmers was that before we started this project, and somebody, probably you may ask, why did we choose to do a project on coffee? I'll just explain briefly. This region is a sugar belt region. A lot of farmers are planting sugarcane simply because we are having a sugar factory in the region. It's in a place called Awendo, which is not very far away from Rongo. So it's and before the coming of the sugar company in 60s, there used to be coffee being planted in the region. But unfortunately, there used to be a cooperative society which was not managed well. So kind of when in the mid-70s, when the sugar company came on board, many farmers abandoned coffee for sugar. So they went into growing sugar cane. So they went into sugar cane, but they didn't know that coffee was just like a black gold. Coffee is a high-valued crop as compared to sugar cane. So they went into sugarcane only to realize that whatever they had abandoned, because most of the farmers actually uprooted their coffee and went for sugarcane. But a few farmers decided to remain with coffee. So they find out that it is very difficult for you to practice sustainable agriculture on sugarcane, because sugarcane is a heavy feeder and it requires a lot of external input, like the synthetic fertilizer and the agrochemicals. When you want to control the weeds, you can't do mechanical weed control. You must always use chemicals. So it used to be problematic to them, because they are using a lot of chemicals, a lot of fertilizer, and that used to spoil their soil. So when we came on board, our aim was to identify the farmers who are still having the coffee and revive that coffee industry. So we identify around 35 farmers who didn't uproot their coffee, and we encouraged them not to uproot their coffee. Then PRI Kenya and BioVision came on board. So BioVision came on board, and we actually started this coffee project. So current situation, we are having...
Okay, yes. Paul, yes, I'm going to let you finish. We're running toward the end of the show. I'm going to let you finish, and then we'll get your last thought.
Okay.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, let me just summarize now briefly.
Yes.
We have got 35 farmers, and each and every farmer has got around 100 trees of coffee. So what we do, we have a center where we do primary processing for their coffee. So after their coffee has reached harvesting stage, they harvest, they bring at the central place, then we do the pulping.
Okay.
We ferment, we dry, then we process it until green bean level. Then we actually now help them in marketing the coffee through PRI Kenya. PRI Kenya has really assisted us in looking for the market through Safari Lounge, which is based okay. in Nairobi.
Okay, we have to leave it there, unfortunately. We're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us, Sheena Shah and Paul Omolo from Kenya. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Okay, and that's all we have for today. Well, we thank all our listeners for joining us. I'm your host, Lina Ahmadou, in Washington, with producer Jackson Vunganyi and Sarah Allen with the news. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.